Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, where Bills players reported today for conditioning work, some rehab work, some film review from yesterday's improbable victory in Minnesota against the Vikings. Players off tomorrow. They'll return to practice on Wednesday. The Bills looking at some injury issues, including LeSean McCoy, who did not play yesterday with his rib cartilage problem. Also, they're wondering about Trent Murphy, who left the game with about 4 minutes to go with an ankle injury yesterday. And again, they have cornerback issues. All of that will begin to be solved when the Bills return to practice on Wednesday. They go up against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field on Sunday. The Packers worried about defensive tackle Muhammad Wilkerson, the former Jet. He stayed last night behind in Washington, D.C. after his bad-looking ankle injury, but he will return to Green Bay today. He was carted off the field. Wilkerson was leg-whipped by Packers safety Kentrell Bryce just before halftime. One of the Packers' top free agent acquisitions, Muhammad Wilkerson, stayed behind hospitalized last night with an ankle injury in the Green Bay loss in Washington. 49ers have yet to update the status of quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. They're preparing for the worst. They think that he may have an ACL tear. He was injured yesterday. Garoppolo was injured in the 38-27 49ers defeat to the Kansas City Chiefs. Falcons have lost starting free safety Ricardo Allen to a season-ending Achilles tendon tear. The Arizona Cardinals may have a quarterback decision to make. Josh Rosen played yesterday late in the Cardinals' 16-14 loss to the Bears. He threw an interception with about 4 minutes left to play, and Josh Rosen may wind up as a starting quarterback moving forward for the Arizona Cardinals. Hall of Fame receiver Tommy McDonald passed away today at the age of 84. He helped lead the Philadelphia Eagles to the 1960 NFL championship. Monday Night Football tonight, the Steelers on the road at Tampa Bay. The Steelers say they may listen to trade offers for running back Le'Veon Bell moving forward. And Tiger Woods a winner again, capping off the most remarkable comeback in golf history as he won the Tour Championship yesterday, more than 5 years after his last win. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here at One Bills Drive. I didn't get a chance to watch Tiger yesterday, but everybody on the Bills plane coming home last night was buzzing about it, right? You were working too, you didn't see it.
I didn't see any of it. In fact, I haven't even looked at the highlights except it was all over the crowd.
Right.
The crowd was absolutely going crazy over his success.
And yeah.
I think he won it by two shots. Yeah, he was one under on the day. I didn't see it, but the crowds were absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
And as long as he's playing good golf, the PGA is happy. I mean, he makes a
difference.
You
know what'll come out next? The television ratings will come out and be astronomical again.
They said it is the highest rated PGA event that was not a major this year.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That was not a major.
There you go. Bill's got a pretty good rating, I'm sure, here in Buffalo on television and in radio, in large part to their improbable victory in Minnesota against the Vikings. After the game, maybe you were lucky enough to catch Bills tonight, 11:30 every Sunday after the Bills play on MSG. The co-host joins us right now on the line. Happy to have Fred Jackson with us, former Bills running back. Hi, Fred. It's John Murphy and Steve here in Buffalo. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, fellas, how you doing? Thanks for always having me.
That was a bit of a script flipper yesterday, wasn't it? I'm sure you didn't come here to Buffalo over the weekend anticipating that to happen.
You know what? It's why you play the game. And those guys, you know, stepped up, definitely showed up for a battle, and they went out there and took it to Minnesota for sure.
It's really interesting, too, because not only did the Buffalo Bills play sharp and they came out, started fast, and looked energetic, the Vikings were just on the opposite side of that. They had a hard time getting ready and getting the thought of the Los Angeles Rams out of their minds. And you know this too, Fred, you can't just turn it on. You can't show up and say, oh, we're a little flat, let's do something here to make something happen, and turn it on and then all of a sudden play well.
Without a doubt. And I think that was the one thing that really stood out. Buffalo looked like a really well-prepared team. They knew exactly what it was that they wanted to do to get the victory in Minnesota, you know, whether it was on defense and listening to Lorenzo say, they felt like if they made, Kurt uncomfortable, you know, he was a better, his numbers were bad. And, you know, even as the gadget plays on offense, the touchdown to Kroom. That was a well-executed play and something that they saw in film that they thought that they could take advantage of. And they went out and executed well all day, and they came out ready to compete. And, you know, it showed yesterday in the game.
Former Bills running back Fred Jackson on the line with us talking about yesterday's victory. Fred, the screen pass was a big part of Buffalo's offensive approach yesterday. You were among the best I've ever seen at facilitating and executing screen passes. What does it do when a team successfully can execute a screen pass? What does it do to a defense?
Well, the number one thing is it slows down the pass rush. And if you can slow down the pass rush, you know, against a good front like the one of Minnesota, it gives, you know, guys like Allen enough time to scan down the field and make some passes down the field. And that's what they're able to do. It's one of the things you want to do when you do run a lot of screens is slow the defensive line down, and it makes the job a lot easier for offensive linemen, you know, definitely throughout the day.
One of the things that happened during the preseason and then through his first start was people were a little concerned about Josh Allen. The big thing coming out before he was drafted was obviously his accuracy. It was 56% completion. There was none of that yesterday. I mean, he put the ball where it was supposed to go a ton. He even had some drops with balls that should have been caught. So how do you count that as progress or just having a good day?
Well, I think it's got to be both. You know, one of the things you want to say is he's making steps towards the right direction. You know, I talked about it on the show last night. You know, one of the passes that I think is the hardest pass or one of the hardest passes for quarterbacks is that swing route from a running back. And the one he threw to Ivory where Ivory was able to catch it and get his eyes upfield immediately, that's a tough throw. And he made that throw, you know, yesterday look easy. So he was having a good day as well. But I think you got to chalk it up to he's progressing and he's going in the right direction.
Fred, are you saying that catching that swing pass is difficult for the running back? Is that what you mean, or the quarterback?
It's a difficult throw for quarterbacks. Throw. Okay. You know, I've heard that from, you know, just about every quarterback I played is it's a throw that they want to make that makes it easy for a running back to catch it and keep his eyes downfield. And sometimes it's not always where they want it to be.
Gotcha.
Yeah, talk a little bit about what you thought, particularly about, you know, not the unexpected nature of this game, but more about what do you think this game could mean? I mean, how many – we've heard about games that you can't let a bad loss count for two bad losses. Yeah. How much can a good win count for?
Well, it's kind of both. You heard you know, Coach referring to it a lot is they want to go back and film and they want to look at all the things they did well and all the things that they didn't do as well. You know, one of my favorite coaches in Eric Studisville used to always say things are never as bad as they seem and they're never as good as they seem. So you always got to stay even keel. You always got to want to work and know that there's stuff that you can improve on. But you're definitely going to use this. You know, you're going to be proud of the win that you got yesterday and one that, quite, you know, honestly, nobody gave you a chance to win. So you want to use that and tuck that in your pocket and say, we can go on the road and we can beat anybody. We can beat a team that, you know, is up for winning the Super Bowl this year. So it's a slope where you're going to use it on both ends. You're going to say, look, this is something that we have to use going forward, but it's also something that we forget about because it doesn't count for more than just the one win.
With Fred Jackson, the co-host of Bills Tonight, 11:30 on MSG on Sundays. Hey, Fred, of course, the Bills did not have McCoy yesterday, and they used Chris Ivory extensively. What do you think of Chris Ivory? How would you describe his style, and what do you think made him pretty successful in yesterday's game?
Man, I've been a fan of Ivory's, you know, since I played against him when he was at the Jets. You know, he's a guy that runs hard. He runs angry. Very rarely does one guy end up bringing him down, and it's almost never the first guy. So, you know, I love his attributes. You know, he's a bigger guy and he's also pretty quick. You know, that's something that I think is undervalued for him is how quick he is. So, and being able to catch the ball out of the backfield, you know, moving, he's a smart guy. You know, he knows football. When Josh was scrambling yesterday, he moved with Josh and Josh was able to hit him in stride and he was able to turn that into a big play. So his football IQ was up there. And anytime you have an asset like that on your team, you want to try and get him on the field as much as possible.
What did you think about Brian Daboll's game yesterday about calling plays and the game plan and using Josh Allen, helping him get started, all the things that go into having a rookie quarterback and being an offensive coordinator? Talk about Brian Daboll. I thought And he deserves a little bit of the a lot of the praise he's getting today.
He does. You know, one of the things that, you know, I noticed watching the game is he was mixing all kinds of things up. And you can tell he definitely, you know, spent some time watching film on Minnesota and knew what it was that he wanted to take advantage of. You know, like I said, the screen was something he saw. You know, he watched film and he saw that this corner or this safety, whoever it may be, is going to be pretty aggressive on any kind of screen out there. So let's take advantage of that. You know, we'll fake that screen and hit Kroom running up the sideline, and that's what they were able to get done. So you got to give him credit, you know, and even the simple passes, you know, swings to running backs, making sure they're available for Allen to throw to if plays don't open up down the field, and even having those plays designed in for him to get comfortable and have the type of game he did. You know, I'm sure Allen, you listen to him, he gives all that credit to his OC.
We're on the line with Fred Jackson, former Bills running back, the co-host of Bills Tonight with Mike Catalana. Hey, you know, there were a lot of people going to the history books about the Bills win yesterday, you know, looking at point spreads and the historic nature of the Buffalo victory. What was the biggest upset victory you ever played in, Fred, either with the Bills or with the college Quahawks? Did the Quahawks ever go anywhere and knock somebody off and everybody shocked by that win?
You know what? I tell you what, my first 3 years at Cole, we were horrible. So I think we won 4 games was the most games I won at Cole. And our senior year, we ended up winning the conference championship and making it to the playoffs. So that was a big upset. But I would say my biggest upset was when we had New England come into Buffalo, and I think they had beat us like 15, 16 straight times. And, of course, everybody was figuring that they were just going to beat us again. And we were able to go out and, you know, put together a great game. We had, just like Bills on Sunday, we had great special teams, great defense play. You know, we had guys play well on offense, and we were able to get the victory.
I don't know if you're going to be around tonight. Are you going to watch Monday Night Football and watch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Fitz and those guys?
Yeah, got to watch Fitz and see. You know, it's a lot of fun seeing what he's doing this year.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing, too, because, you know, to get off the start that he had. And then what you he's one of the all-time great guys. I mean, we all know that. Mm-hmm. But that post-game outfit that he wore last week with the shades and the outfit and trying to and telling everybody you got to stay humble and not change who you are, it's just classic of a guy who kind of has a great sense of perspective no matter what the situation.
I mean, that's one of the things you just love about Fitz is you know, he's going to be himself throughout the whole process, you know, and I was talking about him the other day. He is probably the funniest guy I've ever been around. And I think that just has a lot to do with how intelligent he is. He comes up with these things that you just wouldn't expect a normal NFL quarterback to do. And, you know, to show up to his press conference like that, I wouldn't expect anything less out of that guy. And I tell you what, when I had my roast in Buffalo, he was by far the funniest person there, and it's always fun to see what he's going to do next.
I thought I was kind of funny at your roast, Fred.
Kind of funny.
You were a close second.
Actually, I had a guy come up to me walking out of the stadium yesterday in Minnesota. Some guy came up to me and said, hey, somebody just sent me a video of Fitz and you at the Fred Jackson roast. You guys were hilarious. I mean, 8 months later, people still talking about that, Fred. That was great.
It was. It was an awesome time, and you know, thanks to you and Fitz, you know, it's something that I definitely will remember.
You were pretty funny, too. How's it going with Mike Catalana, the Sunday show? How are you guys doing? How's the show going?
I mean, the show's going great. You know, I couldn't ask for, you know, a better co-host than Mike. He makes it easy for me, and, you know, you can tell that he's been doing this for a while, and the whole crew has just been fun to work with. You know, I'm just looking to hopefully better myself and make sure that I keep my level my level of expertise up with those guys because they're doing a tremendous job, and I just want to make sure I bring something to the table.
Well, Steve and I were talking, a game like yesterday flips the whole show around, doesn't it? Changes the entire atmosphere around the show. I'm sure you experienced that yesterday, last night.
Without a doubt. It's always fun when you can have your team go out and perform the way they did, and it's always fun to be able to talk about those times.
So let's talk about your next post-game show this week after the Green Bay game. What do you expect? Mm-hmm. How do you expect this game to go? And you know, early returns. You know, they're going to be an underdog again. The Bills are going in, and the only thing that might put that in doubt is Aaron Rodgers' inability to run normally.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. One of the biggest attributes for Aaron is how he's able to move around and keep plays alive. And It definitely hurts their chances if he's not able to do that. But I tell you what, he's the second best, if not the best quarterback in the league right now. You know, I've always thought he was one of the better quarterbacks that, you know, has been playing for the past 10 years. So it'll be a big test for him, you know, just like it was a big test for him last week. I'm sure those guys will be prepared. They know what type of team they're going to go up against, go in and compete against, and they're going into Lambeau Field. So it'll be a tough test for them, but one I'm sure they'll be prepared for, and they'll know the simple things that they got to get accomplished to be able to get that win. And I'm looking forward to see what they do.
All right. Hey, Fred, thanks for this. We'll catch you next week. Thank you very much.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Fred.
Fred Jackson joining us, as he will every Monday. He is the co-host of Bills Tonight, 11:30 p.m. on MSG on Sunday nights after the game. Fred and Mike Catalana do that show. And as I said, we're feeling it right now. It's a different show.
Life is better.
life is better. The show's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
The takes are a little bit more reasonable. It's good. It's all good.
It's all good. Yeah. And you know, you don't expect them to go 14-2 after the start they had.
I do not.
But certainly, and like I said earlier in the show, man, it sure changes what you think how you think they can play. We didn't know how good they could play because they had played so poorly in the first two games. Nothing went right for them. They struggled to get anything done offensively. Their defense was a disappointment. And yet, when you see them play like they did yesterday on the road against a really good football team, it gives you some hope and also a sense of perspective about, well, you know, they still are a pretty good football team.
Could be good. And I don't, you know, Jay, our producer, and I were talking today about future topics down the line this week. And you remember 2 weeks ago after the Baltimore, we did a show, and the show topic was, have your expectations changed for the season after Sunday's game? I think we can do that topic again this week. After this Sunday's game, have your expectations changed again? Look, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not being a wise guy here. Mine have not. I have a feeling that the Bills are going to win 6, 7, maybe 8 games. I felt that before the loss to Baltimore and the Chargers. I feel that now. But I also think that all of us, me included, I'm speaking to myself here, have to keep in mind to, you know, ride out the storm. You know, don't ride the highs and lows. There are going to be more highs. There are going to be more lows. They're going to lose more games this year where you think, how did they lose that? How could they play so poorly? How could they? That's part of the season. That is really part of the season, a long NFL season that is just getting started.
Yeah, and we've got people chiming in from the tweet sheet, Dougie Briggs. The biggest takeaway for me is when we get rolling, we can play. The defense was no joke, and we made them look like one. Our O-line looked great, and penalties were significantly down. Bodine looked great as well. Lots to love in this game, too much to post. And, you know, you don't want to get carried away with this, me. I'm swilling down the Kool-Aid every day anyway. But you're right. There is a lot to like in this game. But I also know that it's just the flip side of the same coin we saw for 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, you know. It's just you see the worst of it when you lose, and you see the best of it when you win.
What is your biggest takeaway from the game? We got phone lines open if you'd like to participate that way, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550, or on Twitter as we read through the tweet sheet. What's your biggest takeaway? Joe Bad tweets this in. The biggest thing coming out of yesterday was Josh Allen's performance and competitive edge that solidified the respect his teammates and coaches began to develop in camp and preseason. Now the coaches will have more confidence to expand the offense. Not to that point, but to the first point you made. I absolutely agree, Joe. Chris Brown talked about the reaction on the sideline when Josh Allen hurdled Anthony Barr. Chris also told us about a brief exchange that he witnessed with Lorenzo Alexander, the veteran's veteran, and Josh Allen coming off the field when Lorenzo said something along the lines of, hey, you made a few plays out there. And yeah, I've said I noticed this, I guess, in the OTAs and minicamp, but especially at training camp, how well Josh Allen interacts with the veterans on this team. He is deferential. He is polite. He's not a shrinking violet, but I always admired the way that he kind of let the veterans know that, yeah, you're the veteran, I'm the rookie. And I think now when they see he can play a little bit, or maybe more than a little bit, that respect that he's kind of cultivated is going to increase tenfold. I think he's going to have more fans among the veterans in that locker room. It can only mean good things for Josh Allen and his development that his veteran teammates think, yes, this guy is for real. He can make plays, and he's a pretty good guy who we'd like to follow.
And also that it's going to evolve. It's going to become more and more where he earns more and more of their respect, and he's got more and more responsibility, and he's going to become more and more vocal, and they're going to look to him to set the pace rather than having him defer to the veterans on the team. We also got another guy chiming in on the tweet sheet, John Michael Holohan. Steve was drinking the Kool-Aid about the defense before the season started, and now I'm chugging it too. Biggest takeaway for me was that our defense can be for real if they execute. Also, Josh Allen showed some real poise in a big spot. It's true. And I think this stuff we're seeing from Josh Allen, you think back to, and it's easy to get enamored with the game that he put together yesterday and some of the plays that he pulled off, and even in the losses, some of the plays that he pulled off. But I think the thing that stands out as you think back to, the stuff we're seeing right now, he had some critics before the Bills drafted him. Even some of the in Bills fans, too, chimed in. Of course, on draft night, everybody's either thumbs up or thumbs down, and it's either the best thing ever or the worst thing ever because that's the kind of voice that we all have these days. But for now, it really seems encouraging. As much as the plays that he made, the hurdle and the dive at the corner of the end zone and the throws we saw him make and the accurate passes in the screen passes and even down the field, all of that stuff combined, it's the stuff that you just mentioned, Murph, that sets him apart as to guys who have come here through here before. We mentioned it earlier in the show. He seems to be earning something more than just a spot on the roster or he seems to be earning relationships, if I can say it like that.
Sure. Building relationships.
He is more than just another kid trying to make the team. It seems like he's trying to build something in his own locker room with his teammates, and by playing it on the field, by making those plays on the field, by interacting with his players on the field and off the field, he seems to have a big sense of who a starting quarterback and what a starting quarterback in the NFL should look like. And he's growing into it pretty fast.
Let's take a call on Josh Allen from Mark in Rochester. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a couple things that came to my attention yesterday. One was that call on that first drive where he got hit in the helmet and it kept that drive alive. And they ended up going down and scoring that rushing touchdown, which was awesome. But the biggest takeaway for me is what Steve was just saying. I mean, the big knock on him coming out of college was his completion percentage. And I thought he did a phenomenal job of getting the ball where it needed to be, when it needed to be there. And if it wasn't for a couple drops by Benjamin, his completion percentage would have been up above 70. And I thought that was the biggest takeaway for me. I thought it was awesome. And he just showed great poise. I mean, for a young kid, he looked pretty good to me.
Mark, I'm going to quiz you here. What was his completion percentage at Wyoming? You recall?
I think it was about 53%.
56%. You know what his completion percentage is now in the NFL, 2.5 games? 56%.
Same.
It's 56%. Well, that's one measure. And look, and I agree with you. He has thrown it. The accuracy has not really been a major issue with Josh through 2.5 games. It might crop up. I think he improved his short pass accuracy yesterday, don't you? And
we've been putting the ball in
time. That was the biggest thing yesterday. But he's really, again, a 56% completion guy. You'd like to see it higher, but hasn't been an issue, has it?
No, he has not been wildly missing throws. Most people have been talking about the drops that have plagued the team. They haven't been complaining about his inaccurate throws. Even the deep balls yesterday, he underthrew one that I was talking to about Robert Foster. He tried to go deep to him twice that I remember. Once was underthrown. Foster ended up the guy dropping the interception. And the second one, Foster short-armed it. He should have had it.
Those two have had like three near misses for huge plays.
Right.
Got to connect.
And that's why Foster
changes games. Those plays change a game.
That's why Foster's on the – that's why he's on the roster.
He's got to make a catch.
He's got to get deep. They want him to take the lid off. And if he can catch one of those – or two of them, or all of them.
Breaks open a game.
Everything changes for that whole offense because they're going to, the safety will have to slide over to get there with the corner. They're going to have, and, Kelvin Benjamin gets better. Zay Jones gets better. Chris Ivory, LeSean McCoy get better. Clay gets better. Kroom gets better. They all get better because they'll have to throw a safety at Foster when he goes down the middle of the field.
Got the phone lines open and Twitter open for your response to this. What's your biggest takeaway from the Bills' win over the Vikings? Chris Rolek tweets this in. My biggest takeaway is that no matter the odds, Sean McDermott can get this team up and play. I don't know what he did or said, but this team lays it out there for him and for each other. It's a good point, Chris. I will say, I'm going to repeat a point that I made earlier on the show, and Steve, you may agree or may disagree. Sean didn't do this all just last week. The fact that the Bills responded to him this week, the fact that the Bills bounced back from two devastating losses, I think has a lot to do with, one, the type and character of players they bring in here and their mental approach to the game, and two, the standard that McDermott and his staff have set. It didn't just start last Monday, by the way, after the brutal loss to the Chargers. It's been going on now for, 16 plus three games, 19 games. They have set the template for this is who we are, this is how we play, this is our standard of performance, and these are the type of players we bring in here. And that's why, I believe that's why McDermott should get credit for what he's built here. Not something that just, you know, he came up with last Monday in an effort to get him ready to play the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, and also, it's obvious he truly believes that makes the difference, the kind of players they have in the building. From the players they've released to the players they've even given an opportunity to come in here and play. The one exception, you might look at Corey Coleman and say, I don't know. But they, a seventh-round draft pick, and they took some heat for what people said, wasting a seventh-round draft pick. I didn't hear anybody complain when they cut Austin Prohl. He's a seventh-round draft pick.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, they wasted that pick. Well, it's a seventh-round draft pick. So to give a guy a chance who may or may not fit him, they didn't keep him.
Right.
He didn't fit in. But I think I've never seen a coaching staff or general manager put their players and their roster where their mouth is. If they don't want guys like that in their locker room, they do not bring them in. But then there's always one guy that says, maybe we'll give Terrell Owens a shot, Maybe we'll give Josh Gordon a look. They won't do it. And it has served them well to this point. And in tough times, they always go back to that and say, well, I don't know if that's enough. But these guys believe it is, and they're going to stick with it.
All right, a break here. When we come back, more of your thoughts on your biggest takeaway from yesterday's win over the Vikings. We'll take them on the phone lines at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. You can weigh in on Twitter as well. Plus, NFL true and false. We got to take a look at what's going on around the league. A lot of interesting games yesterday in the NFL. We'll talk about that when we return. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. We're in the home stretch of One Bills Live for this Monday afternoon. John Murphy and Steve Tasker from One Bills Drive. And down the stretch they come. Steve, it's been a good show, and it's a different show when the Bills play like they did yesterday. We got some league news to talk about, some league issues. And this came down during the course of our show, just came across it. The Baker Mayfield era officially underway in Cleveland. 4 days after he replaced Tyrod Taylor, Hugh Jackson said that the number one overall pick will take over the Browns' starting job Sunday against the Oakland Raiders. Mayfield had a good night Thursday night. Tyrod did not. And, a couple of things, a couple of quick takes on this. Hot takes just come to mind. Tyrod was awful last Thursday night, just absolutely awful. And so there's almost nowhere else for Hugh Jackson to go. Baker Mayfield was good. Not great, but good. In fact, his rookie performance may have been overshadowed by Josh Allen's rookie performance yesterday in Minnesota. Look, they'll take their lumps with Baker Mayfield, right? They're not going to win double-digit games with Baker Mayfield, but it's probably necessary to turn the page, especially when Tyrod was so ineffective.
And this week, the Browns head out to the West Coast to go play the Raiders. And you're right, Murph. I don't know where else. It would have been an interesting press conference to watch, because Hugh Jackson has been adamant in his assertion that there's no way Baker Mayfield is playing in 2018. Tyrod Taylor is going to take the snaps. And, we here in Buffalo can snicker and laugh all we want to, thinking, yeah, I knew, they'd get there with Tyrod. But, Hugh Jackson was committed to it. But let's face it, we here in Buffalo saw how frustrating it can be with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. Sean McDermott illustrated it by benching him last year after throwing for 56 yards. He had another bad game I don't know, another bad bet, had a bad game in that game against the Jets, and Baker Mayfield had to take over and brought the exact same team, the exact same offense with no practice during the week in the same game plan. He brought them back from 14 points and scored those and won that game in a game where Tyrod couldn't even complete a pass.
Yeah.
That looks bad. So you make the change. And I think you got to tip your hat to Hugh Jackson because you knew he was going to take some heat for this because he was insistent that Tyrod Taylor was going to be his quarterback. And even after the game, he says, well, and as bad as it looked, as stark as the difference was in those two quarterbacks, he said, let me look at the tape. Let me see him evaluate, and finally made the call today. And, it's the right call, I think, no question about it. And we can all sit here and say, I knew it was going to happen.
Right.
But you know what? You know, a lot of people knew the Minnesota Vikings were going to win this week, too.
Yeah, so, where are they now?
Yeah.
Hey, Hugh Jackson did say today that Tyrod is still in concussion protocol. Says he hopes it'll be cleared in time to be their backup Sunday against the Raiders. But you got to think about long-term future for Tyrod, and maybe not that long, maybe to the end of October. I would think for a playoff-contending team that might need quarterback help, either depth or something more than that, Tyrod Taylor is a viable option. He is despite how badly he played last Thursday and despite all of his limitations, Tyrod Taylor is a competent NFL quarterback. If you're the San Francisco 49ers, and you're waiting on the final report on Jimmy Garoppolo, who may have a torn ACL, and you got C.J. Beathard as the backup, don't you make a call to Cleveland and say, tell me about Tyrod Taylor. What would it take? Right? You have to.
Yeah, I think you do. I would. And not only that, you'd be calling a lot of other places as well. You might even call the Jets and ask about Josh McCown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can we get a guy out here like him? And, you know, of course, as every quarterback vacancy or question mark in the league comes down to, Colin Kaepernick's next name will be thrown up, particularly in San Francisco. All the names are going to be out there. And, you know, Tyrod, if now that he is not – he's making $1 million a game. He's making $16 million this year. Maybe there is going to be some interest in one of these teams that may lose one of their guys.
I wouldn't see why not. All right, the rest of the league, it was a very interesting day. The Bills, I think the Bills' upset victory over Minnesota was the most interesting day or game on yesterday's NFL schedule, but there was a lot going on. Pat Mahomes did it again, 3 touchdown passes. The Chiefs beat Garoppolo and the 49ers. If you're sitting there waiting for Pat Mahomes to crash down to earth, hasn't happened yet. May not happen, Steve. Yeah. This guy might be the real deal.
Yeah, and he does it a lot of different ways. He's got great arm talent. He's got a live arm. He's a great athlete. He sees the field. He keeps his eyes down the field. He is playing really – there's just no other way to say it. He is playing very well at every level of quarterback play. And this team is, you know, thriving because of it.
He's surrounded by offensive playmakers, which helps a lot.
And a head coach who has a lot of faith in him, who's very creative.
Who's a guru, an offensive guru in his own right.
He's in a great spot. The team is in a great spot. Andy Reid has got to feel really good about where they are. Nice little touchdown celebration they put together, too. We're watching on the highlights. But, I'm totally with you. Mahomes is going to be around for a while. He's going to be in Kansas City. It looks like now he's off to start that is unprecedented.
Yeah. You were flying home last night. I was watching the Lions and the Patriots Sunday Night Football, thinking, well, I'll watch some of this, and then the Patriots will pull ahead, and I'll go to bed. The Patriots never pulled ahead. I didn't go to bed till it was over. I didn't want to stay up that long, but I did, because anytime you get an opportunity to finish off a good day with a Patriots loss and a couple of cold beverages, you pounce on that opportunity.
Did you have 3 fingers of scotch there?
No, it was a beer night, just a couple of beers last night. But it was too good to turn away. Look, it wasn't a great game, but Matt Patricia, it seems like, is fine after a rough start this season, right, and a rough start in preseason. His team's playing hard. I will give him that. They ran for 100 yards. First time they've had a 100-yard rusher in, like, years, right, for the Detroit Lions. That was cool to see. Matthew Stafford played well. But the thing you take away from that game, Steve, I took away was, and I know it's early, and I know they do this every year, but the Patriots do not look right. They do not look right. They have a deficit of playmakers. They got Josh Gordon sitting out yesterday. Maybe they get him in the game eventually. They don't have enough playmakers on offense. Chris Hogan and that group, not going to do it for you. That's number one. Number two, they got some serious defensive issues on the back end especially. I'm not going to say bury the Patriots yet because we've been down this road. We've seen how they get slow starts from time to time. But they don't look right to me right now, and I know it's only September.
Hey, listen, no other team in the league would even think of doing what the Patriots did last night. They went into the game with three active wideouts. Hogan, Cordarrelle Patterson, and some other guy. I don't know who it was.
Yeah, I know who it was. It was the former Indianapolis Colt.
Three guys.
Dorsett. Yeah.
Three guys.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's got to be sitting back there going, what are we even doing here?
Right. You know? Where's Gronkowski? That's what he's saying.
Like, Gronkowski was active, no question. Gronkowski was there.
And he's the only weapon they have on offense.
And they're getting Julian Edelman back after this next week. But he's out there with literally three guys, like half the complement of wide receivers some teams have. All of them have at least five active and have four wide packages. They had three guys active. They're a mess right now. I think their roster's a mess. They've made 28 personnel changes at the wide receiver position since March. 28.
It tells you they don't like who they have.
They're trying to find guys.
So the Patriots are 1-2 with the Bills, with the Jets, while the Dolphins sit on top of the division, Steve, at 3-0. Look, I'm not a strong Dolphins believer here. I respect the fact they're 3-0. Who have they beaten, right? Home against Tennessee, on the road at the Jets. You did that game. Home against Oakland yesterday. Yesterday they had to resort to trick plays to make it happen, right? A couple of weird, wild trick plays, but they won, all right? Give them credit. They won. I just don't know that they can sustain this. And I think the schedule's going to catch up with them sooner or later here.
It might, but Ryan Tannehill has really done a lot for him. He's stabilized him at the quarterback spot. He's a guy that is engaged. You know, and they had Jay Cutler last year who parachuted in before the season started. He's a physically, gifted quarterback, but he wasn't part of their team. You know what I'm saying? He was just a guy they brought in. He's a mercenary, basically. And he didn't have anything. He wasn't emotionally invested, and the players weren't emotionally invested in him. It's a tough situation, and he didn't play well. So they getting Tannehill back, a guy who is their guy, who they've expressed faith in, and both with words and with actions, by bringing him back, putting him as a starter, they're in a better place now, Miami. And I think Tannehill's play, while it hasn't been elite or outstanding or unbelievable like Mahomes or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Drew Brees have been this season, he has been steady, and he's been who they thought he was, a good, physical, strong-arm quarterback who can push the ball down the field. So Miami is in a good spot right now, and you can say what you want about their schedule, Murph, and I get it. You're right. The simple fact of the matter is they're doing what it takes to get it done.
I'll give them that. Lastly, and this is going to come up this week, Clay Matthews and the Packers. Three times this year, Clay Matthews has been whistled for roughing the passer. And after yesterday's game, Green Bay loss in Washington, Matthews said the NFL is getting soft. Matthews says this league is going in a direction I think a lot of people don't like. I think they're getting soft. He was whistled for a play. Referee Craig Rolstead penalized him for landing on Washington quarterback Alex Smith. Late third quarter, the Packers lost at FedEx Field. The league stands by it. A tweet yesterday says the defender lands with all or most of the defender's weight on the passer. Rule 12, Section 2, Article 9B. They're really trying to protect quarterbacks. I think Clay Matthews has a case for this one, Steve. Yes, he landed on Alex Smith. I don't know where he's supposed to go as he attempts to sack the passer, but they want them not to put their entire body weight on the quarterback. I don't know that Clay Matthews did that. He certainly did not do it deliberately. What's he supposed to do? Tell me, what is he supposed to do here?
Well, you can't land on the quarterback.
So how's he supposed to sack him?
Right here when
should
he starts
just,
to go down.
Should we just put the flag in the belt of the quarterback and pull the flag out and he's sacked? Is that what we're looking for? Seriously. What?
Listen, if he'd let go halfway down and not try.
You let go against Josh Allen, he might get away.
Yeah, he might. It's tough, no question about it. But let's face it here, too. Green Bay, in two of the games, Clay Matthews has been, in large measure, why they didn't win. In the Chicago, he gave the Bears a chance to win that game in Chicago by with a roughing the passer call. In a Minnesota game, he definitely lost that game with that roughing the passer call.
It was a bad call.
They were going to use it in a video.
They did not.
Right, they didn't.
Because so they probably looked at it and said,
maybe not. But he did. It cost him the game. He's got to get this right. It's not that difficult.
The league's got to get it right.
Other guys are doing it. Nobody else is getting called.
They are. Through 2 weeks, I got the number up right here.
Calm down now. Take a deep breath. Deep breath.
Thank you. 2 weeks, a record, NFL record, 21 roughing the passer penalties for the first 2 weeks of the season.
Struck a nerve with Murph here. He's coughing.
You're wrong. They are calling it a lot, roughing the passer.
Yeah, it's 21 not that hard,
roughing
though.
The passer calls in the first 2 weeks. Clearly, they're enforcing it. They're over-enforcing their protection of quarterbacks. I'm getting excited.
Oh, man.
21 roughing the passer penalties in 2 weeks.
Maybe
you remember that?
I might be wrong about that, Murph.
You're wrong. As I've often said, when Steve's wrong, he's really wrong.
At least I'm still not in doubt.
We'll break here. We're back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Time for What Have We Learned, presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Matt Milano on with us, who had an outstanding game yesterday. The Bills' second-year linebacker from Boston College. The Bills' forced fumbles yesterday, right? Kirk Cousins, quarterback, lost two of them. Milano came up with one of them. Milano said going into the game, they knew that Cousins had a propensity for being a little careless with a football.
Every quarterback we play, every running back we play, I'm always looking for guys who have a history of fumbling and stuff like that. So definitely an emphasis throughout the week.
You got a break with their running back being out. But
yeah, definitely. They had some key receivers we were just keying on the whole game, 19, 14. Those guys, you know, just keying on them, what their tendencies are, stuff like that, practicing it all week. We just had a game plan and went out there and executed it.
Matt Milano talked about his performance yesterday. Chris Brown, Bills insider, BuffaloBills.com, joined us today. He talked about the reaction on the Buffalo bench when Josh Allen hurdled linebacker Anthony Barr in the first half of yesterday's game.
There were 7-8 other guys I was counting that were ready to do like backflips, jumping around. They're holding their head. They're like pumping their fists. They were going bananas. And I asked some players, you know, in the locker room, you know, what kind of juice does that give the other side of the ball when you see a guy putting his body on the line like that, let alone the quarterback of your football team? And Jordan Poyer said, I wanted to play defense the next play. He said, I almost didn't want him to get the first down because I wanted to go out on the field and hit somebody. Right. That is the kind of charge that a play like that can put in a, you know, in the other side of the ball and special teams, whoever it is, 1-46 on game day was ready to run through a wall after they saw their quarterback making a play like that.
Great story. Big show tomorrow. Coming up tomorrow, Steve, Peter King joins us on Tuesdays as usual. Brian Baldinger from NFL.com. Maybe Jeff Glor from CBS Evening News.
Or a colleague of mine, right?
Yes.
He doesn't even know.
Why don't you line up Jeff Glor for us?
That'd be good. If you pull that off, Murph, it'll be like getting Walter Cronkite. Wow.
The modern-day Walter Cronkite. Right. Hey, thanks to our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Honnelder, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. We will see you tomorrow at noon. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.